welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your host, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. And I also have, again, Dr. Ted Brower on the show with me today. How are you doing today, sir?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. We got an action-packed show for the next hour for everybody. Plus, I'm going to be on with Doug and Joe again tonight, which is a real blessing every time I get to be with on those guys. And so, but we also have a special coupon that we have right now. It's TED5, the number 5, T-E-D, no space, 5. And it'll get you 5% off everything at Health Masters through the weekend. So it's going to be a pretty good sale for you guys. And so hopefully we can be a blessing to you folks.
Yeah, it will be. It's huge. And we'll have the, we also put the purple sticks, the 3-pack special on the purple sticks up as well. We originally were not going to allow the coupon to work on the 3-pack specials, but I think we've changed that. So all the 3-pack specials will still be active for the 5% off coupon as well, including that new purple stick 3-pack special. So you guys that are really big on those, that'll give you a chance to kind of grab a couple of them at a pretty discounted rate. Save yourself some money, and that way you can have some on stock, because those are a pretty popular product, and we have a tendency to run out of them pretty fast.
Really hard to get. Plus, if you add a few extra things with them, it's under $100. You get the free shipping on them, too. So, yeah, so thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. What's your first story today, Oz?
Well, this is interesting. This is actually about a week and a half old. I missed it, which I wish I would have addressed it or not, but I'm doing it now, so forgive me. All new applications for permits to concealed carry in Sacramento County are on hold now until July, the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department. Apparently, they're blaming it. They're shutting it down until the end of July for new applications, and that includes cuts to on-call hours in the concealed weapons unit, which will necessitate the cancellation of some scheduled appointments for May and June. They're blaming it on not having enough funding, of course, which they always like to fund it on. They said it requires rigorous screening by law enforcement. I don't know how this works out in California, but you have to pay like $120 here in Florida. Like I said, in California, I don't know what they do, but it's $120 here to do it, which pretty much easily covers the cost of you turning in your paperwork, you turning in your fingerprints, and having somebody do a background check on you, which doesn't take that long anyways. So I don't know what they're doing this for, if this is just a beta test to kind of see how the response is going to be to just start. This is the problem, guys, when you start having the government issue permits for stuff. And this is just the truth. I'm not against concealed weapons permit. I have one. Dad has one. I think there's a lot of pros to them, as they prevent people from just walking around with concealed pistols that don't know what they're doing and shouldn't even have one. But on the other hand, too, it's like a driver's license where the government states that driving is a privilege, not a right, which is completely false. Driving is a right. You have a constitutional right to be able to travel free and unmolested on your way, regardless of licenses, fees, permits, or taxes. And this is the same thing they're doing now here, is they're denying these people for a period of around 2 months that they can't get a concealed weapons permit, period. So I find that a bit odd. Again, like I said, anytime the government allows you to do something, anytime you have to get a permit to do something, you're essentially at the whim of whatever the government feels like they want to do. And now, like I said, this sheriff's department stating that they're no longer going to issue these until the end of July. So a lot of people that, I mean, could be seriously affected, that may feel like they need to have their permit and they've been working on trying to get it done, now it's denied and postponed for the next 2 months. So I thought I'd address that, even though it's a little bit old, a couple weeks ago. I did want to put it out there so people kind of understand what's going on and what happens when you allow the government to dictate what you can do with and without a permit.
Well, the whole thing with being able to carry guns is just constitutionally guaranteed anyhow. So, I mean, but I agree with you. If people are going to carry guns, they need to know how to use them. I remember the other day I had a friend of mine who's got a concealed weapons permit. And they wanted to show me their gun, and I told them absolutely not. And they said, well, why can't I show you my gun? I said, because every time you show me your gun, you muzzle sweep me. And I said, I don't want to be muzzle swept. And I said, I don't want people pointing guns at me. I said, so you can just point at it. I'll look at it on the desk. I'll walk over and I'll pick it up. I said, but no, I don't want you to show it to me, point it at me again. I said, you know, people need to learn how to use these guns. So just because you have a concealed weapons permit, I personally believe you should have to take some kind of continuing education classes on it every single year for at least 1 or 2 hours for like $50 or whatever to note that you have to do it. And the continuing education class should be on-hands training every single year. So you go out and you shoot the gun and you learn how to handle it. I personally believe they should do that, Austin, if they're going to let you be walking around concealed. I still remember, and I've told this story before, I'm going to tell it one more time. You were like 5 years old and we were in Denver, Colorado. And we had gone snow skiing. One of the last times we had gone snow skiing, I'll never forget this. And we had gone to the Wild West store out there somewhere, and you got a set of double six. Yeah, they were chrome six shooters, and they were cap guns. And they looked from a distance, they looked like they were real guns. And I'll never forget, you were walking through the airport with your boots and spurs and your hat, and you were wearing a double rig.
Yeah,
you were in a double rig of guns, man, walking through the airport, and you were just so cool. And I remember, it wasn't even TSA back then, and the guy goes, dude, we can't let you go to the plane with those pistols. They look too real. And I said, no, they're not really cap guns. He goes, it doesn't make a difference. We can't do that. We can't allow him to get on the airplane carrying guns open like that. Oh, my gosh, did you pitch a fit. You were crying and carrying on, and you lost the guns. You got to keep the holster, the spurs, and the hat, but the rest of them disappeared on us. So that was I still remember that story. I know I've told that before on the show, but for those of you who haven't heard it before, so if you think we're all really into guns, we are really all into guns down here. It is not an exaggeration. Yes, we are all about our guns, and that's one of the reasons we're happy that we actually live in the state of Florida, because they've got really, really good gun laws here, especially for defending your home. You don't have to retreat to the last possible wall cuddled in the corner if somebody comes into your house. You don't have to do all that nonsense here. I want to read you something today. It came to me. I have no idea who wrote it, and it was so good I sent it out today, but I want to read it out loud to everybody. It's a story, a little short story. An elderly man in his 80s hurried to his doctor's appointment at 8 a.m. He wanted to finish quickly because he must be somewhere by 9. The doctor asked what the next appointment was. He said proudly that at 9 o'clock every morning, I'm at the nursing home to eat breakfast with my wife. The doctor asked, in what condition was your wife in? The man said that his wife had Alzheimer's, and for the past 5 years, she hasn't known who I am. The doctor was surprised and asked the man why he continues to go faithfully if she has no idea who he is. The old man replied, because I still know who she is. Isn't that good, Austin?
Yeah.
I know. That's completely off topic. I know, but I wanted to share that with everybody today because I like that. It came apart. I sent it out as a text this morning too. And I had so many people commenting on that. Another part was this: democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. Quote by Benjamin Franklin. And so I think we all need to be well-armed. What's your next story, buddy?
Well, this is interesting. Now, McDonald's, which I'm not a proponent of, you guys know that, I don't support their food, but the ex-CEO of McDonald's, the last CEO of McDonald's, Ed Renzi, appeared on Fox Business Network this week and warned progressive groups against the $15 an hour minimum wage hike. He said, I was at the National Restaurant Show yesterday, and if you look at the robotic devices that are coming into the restaurant industry, it's cheaper to buy a $35,000 robotic arm than it is to hire an employee who's inefficient making $15 an hour bagging French fries. He said already several fast food restaurant chains in America have invested in self-serving kiosks in response to the wage hikes won by the far-left protest. Earlier this month, you guys remember Wendy's fast food restaurant chain announced plans to offer self-serving kiosks at 6,000 locations now across America, making them available to customers by the end of 2016. And what's interesting about this is more and more people that actually run businesses that understand what overhead is and, you know, basically meeting payroll every week realize that this is not something that's going to function in the way that everybody thinks it is. The problem that I have with it is that this generation now is becoming obsessed with the minimum. What's the minimum amount of work I can do? What's the minimum amount of money I can make? What's the minimum size house I can get? What's the minimum car I can buy? Everything's the minimum. When's the last time in America everybody was obsessed with being minimum? I don't remember when. Everything in America is about doing the best you can, having the furthest goals that you can, achieving the most you can, being all that you can be. but for some reason now everybody's so obsessed with the minimum. What's the minimum amount of money I can make and stay basically self-sufficient? And it's really quite irritating to me because this generation is so entitled. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. You know, when I first got out of college here, I went to work for a company called ICF Builders, installing hurricane windows and doors up in Amelia Island. It was a really good job as far as it taught me a lot. It was very hard work. But, you know, it's the state of Florida. This was back, you know, I graduated in 2008. There wasn't a lot of work going on. Health Masters was kind of, you know, floating around. We weren't that busy. We weren't doing a whole lot. And there were already multiple employees here working. And I had worked here part-time. And I decided to go up there. I worked my butt off. I was working 50, 60 hours a week, and you know what I got paid? I paid like $9.50 an hour. Never got a raise, and I never complained. I did my job. I worked hard. I found different ways that I could possibly, you know, make money here and there with side jobs, and that was it. But nowhere did I ever demand that somebody pay me $15 an hour for having no experience in a field, and that's what everybody's doing now. This is going to end up poorly for everybody that's demanding this because you're going to end up with this giant gap. Because how are you going to sit there and pay somebody that has no experience, no background, has to be trained $15 an hour to do a basic, simplistic job when you got middle management that's barely making much more than that at these fast food restaurant chains? It doesn't work. It's not going to work. All it's going to do is push these companies further into the robotic movement, which I'm not a fan of either because that completely eliminates the jobs. But I'm so sick of hearing all these people to, you know, fight for 15, fight for 15. No, there's no limit on how much money you can make. There is no limit on what you can make. You can make as much money as you dream to achieve in this world. But you just have to find a way to do it and set your goals to get there. But everybody's so set now on making the bare minimum. That's what everybody's set with now. They're content with being minimum. So I thought I'd address that again today. I brought it up before, but now the ex-CEO of McDonald's is basically saying the same thing as multiple other business owners are saying now. This isn't going to work, and a lot of people need to understand that.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Austin, because you're right. You know, the goals and dreams. I had a good friend of mine yesterday. His name is Mike Van Norden, and he used to be my publicist back in the 90s. Booked me on the top radio and TV shows in the country. I mean, amazing what that guy could do. And then Clinton deregulated the industry and allowed Clear Channel and some of the big boys come in and buy up all the radio stations, so they no longer needed the programming for individual mom-and-pop operations. There were big channels in certain areas, and so they started syndicating shows throughout the country. And so little by little, that entire radio market died. And, of course, then you had the CDs were coming out really, really strong 25 years ago. And so that was cutting out a lot. And then you had the XM radio started coming in, you know, towards the end of the 90s, the early 2000s. And then you ended up in a situation where everybody's going to MP3 downloads. You know, so people don't even, you know, I just got another car. It doesn't even have a CD player in it. It couldn't even be ordered with a CD player, which is kind of silly as far as I'm concerned. But you're right. Everybody's being satisfied with the minimums. I remember years ago, I've got a friend of mine. He sells a lot of cars. And I asked him one time, I said, well, how do you match other people's deals when you do car deals? He goes, well, we don't worry about matching other deals. We match other people's payments. He goes, Ted, people don't care what they pay for the car. They never pay the car off. All they want is what to know is what the minimum payment they can make every month. And so all we've got to do is find a way to go from a 4-year to a 5-year to a 6-year to a 7-year to an 8-year note to get the payments down, and they're happy because their payments haven't gone up and they traded cars. They don't care how much they owe because it doesn't make any difference. They have no intentions of ever paying the vehicle off. And that's the mindset of America today. It's just the minimum everything. And you're absolutely right, Austin. And the sad part about this is what folks don't understand in owning Health Masters now for 35 years, I know what that means. When you hire an employee at $15 an hour, you've got to then at that point pay 7% or 8% to listen to the numbers, right? Or just the matching Social Security. So now it's not 15 an hour. Now it's like 16, 20 an hour. Then you got to pay the workman's comp on them. That's like another hour, dollar, another $1.50, depending on how dangerous a job, up to $5. So now let's figure it's costing you $20 an hour. Well, now all of a sudden you're paying $20 an hour payroll. You got them at 80, and now you put them at full time. Now they want to get health insurance from you. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So pretty soon with the health insurance premiums going through the roof, you know, I remember years ago, you know, we used to always provide health insurance for our companies, for my employees. And then what happened in 2008 when everything hit the fan and everything collapsed, I remember some people's health insurance that we were having to match were like $600 and $700 and $800 per month. Just for one person. That's what the company was paying. And I couldn't do it anymore. We simply couldn't do it because the sales had dropped so hard back in 2008. And so I told everybody, I said, I'm sorry, I can't not do health insurance anymore. You know, we're too small because the insurance companies, we don't qualify for a better discount because we don't have enough employees. And you guys don't understand. I said, you know, we're a mom and pop operation. We manufacture, have our stuff made for us, super high quality. We're never going to go huge into the box stores, et cetera, because we produce like a, we're almost like a boutique vitamin company. We manufacture stuff. It's super high-end quality, and we keep our prices as low as we possibly can. That's why our margins aren't as high. I know a lot of these guys that are selling supplements, they'll pay $20 for a bottle of vitamins, and they'll sell it for $100. It's ridiculous. We don't do that. Almost all of our products, by the time we pay our overhead, we make about between 25 and 30% profit. That's it. That's all we make because I'm not going to compromise my quality and start bringing in Chinese stuff, which so many of the other companies have done now, and to start bringing all this poison in to get the prices down lower. I will not do it. If I personally won't take these products, if I won't give them to Lana, Austin's wife, who's nursing my grandbaby right now, or Austin or my wife or my kids, I'm not giving them to you guys. See, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you the highest quality product that you can possibly get. Because those are the ones that I use for me and my family. And that's what we've always done at Health Masters. And that's why we've been around for 35 years. By the way, thank you for supporting us. I just want to thank you that on a Memorial weekend. Here's an interesting article by Pam Martins, by the way. Now, Pam's a socialist. I'm not going to promote her very much, but that's what she is. But I like reading her stuff every once in a while. And she wrote an article, and she said, "The Yellen the Scrooge. Why does the Fed chair need to speak at the start of the Memorial Day weekend?" Now, I'm going to answer that question for her. She really doesn't know, but I haven't read the article yet, and I'll go over it with you in just a second. Here's why Yellen's going to speak this afternoon around 1:15. In fact, she already has. She basically doesn't want to have a massive reaction on Wall Street. A lot of businesses have already closed for the day. They close half day out on Friday. And she wants any announcements that she makes to have the weekend to buffer itself because our markets will be closed on Monday too. So she gets Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. She gets 4 days of closure for the market to react overseas or whatever and buffer it back to the United States. That's why they do it. Here's the little article she wrote. Typically, the bond market would be closing at 2 p.m. today, leaving the stock market rudderless and thinly traded. Typically, tens of thousands of Wall Street traders would have nothing more taxing than barbecues and beaches and beer dancing about their heads and would be sprinting out to the office to the Hamptons or the Fire Island or Montauk as soon as possible. But today is not typical. Thanks to the Scrooge Yellen, who will be speaking around 1:15 today, the fact is furrowing brows on Wall Street and forcing traders to hang around to see where the market moving nuggets might be dropped by the petite central banker in chief. In reality, it's Harvard that's messing up the early holiday exits on Wall Street. Harvard is giving Yellen the Radcliffe Medal for her transformative impact on society. That means likely that, thank you, Chair Yellen, for using a melon scoop instead of an ice cream scoop to dish out rake heights. But anyhow, so it's kind of interesting. Now, I have no idea what she said. I haven't heard what she had to say for the rest of the article. I'm sure I'll know by tonight. Probably not much. But anyhow, but I want to share with you, but that's why they do this. They do this because it lessens the impact on the market when they do that, and they end up not having as much blowback from whatever they say. They've learned that a long time ago, Austin. What do you think?
Well, that's exactly right. We see them do it numerous times. That's almost every time. And it's a good indication that, I mean, pretty much if to look out for is that you know whenever they're going to, if there starts to be a collapse, they're going to do it on a Friday. Pretty much flat out. They're going to do it on a Friday. So,
close the banks on Friday. That's right.
Exactly. Close the banks, close. The weekends will be done. And what it'll do it is it'll buffer it over the weekend. And then Monday is going to be the giant brouhaha when everybody freaks out and they can't get their cash out of the banks or whatever's released, whatever they say about the banks. Whatever it is, but that's more than likely what's going to happen. So always be very wary when you hear about these guys releasing stuff on Friday. I'm not telling you to panic or be fearful or anything like that, because that's, you don't want to live in a spirit of fear. But just understand that, you know, it's a good, strong possibility that whenever it happens, it's going to be on a Friday. So just be aware and open of what's going on and understand how to handle the situation when it arises.
That's correct. Now, here's another article. Syrian analysts. Afri Dajir to the U.S. Now, I want you, this is from Brandon Turberville. I like Brandon's stuff. To U.S., is it normal to kill kids and women? Is this normal for you in the United States? Okay, so, you know, we've talked, I'm going to read you what he said just a second, but let me stop for a second. You know, we are bombing their hospitals. We are bombing their water treatment centers. We are bombing their water, their electrical systems over there in Syria. I mean, they're drinking out of the Euphrates River, which is full of cholera because of human waste in it. I mean, we're forcing them to get all these diseases, and then we're bringing them into Europe. I mean, what we're doing with the NATO countries now and what we've done in Syria and Libya, in Egypt, in Iraq, is just unconscionable with the millions dead, the children that have died. But again, remember, this is the same government that was willing to bomb Dresden back in 1945 and kill a half million women and children and old men. No troop value, nothing. So he's asking a very, very simple question. Is it normal to kill children and women? Is this normal for you? And here's what he wrote from Brandon Turberville. In an interview with Amy Anderson of EDTV, Afra Dagher, a Syrian political analyst currently residing in Syria, expects much of that frustration. After reporting the facts of the recent bombings, Dagher stated, what many Syrians feel and what any informed observer can easily see for himself. She said, there is a mastermind behind this. Well, we know that. It's the Rothschild Bank. We know that. Such an attack is well organized and planned. Well, yep, they're being told what to do. It is organized plan to destroy our infrastructure, our battle stations, our hospitals, our electricity, our water treatment systems, many of our important and sensitive sites, killing our people. So-called Ahrar al-Sham announced their responsibility, but the U.S. refuses to designate it or to classify it as a terrorist group at the U.N. Later, the so-called ISIS declared its responsibility and said, there is no presence for those ISIS in our cities in the coastal area there just to cover. What they're saying here is this. We're destroying everything they have. I mean, think about this, guys. Now, just put yourself in this for a second. If we're under siege right now, and let's say China decides to come and invade the United States, let's say you live in Indianapolis, and Indianapolis has water treatment centers and electrical systems, and you have millions of people living in the city and the outside areas, and they come in and they intentionally bomb the infrastructure, the sewage, the bridges, the water treatment, the electricity, and now you're left there with no power, no running water, no flushing toilets, no way to get food, because they've bombed the infrastructure. Now, that can't be replaced overnight. That's been destroyed. I mean, this is what we do now with the dictates that we put out through the CIA and through ISIS and through these other groups that we control. We destroy the infrastructure. Now, there's absolutely no reason to do that. Now, remember, in Germany in World War II, almost all of the plants that were owned by Standard Oil and the Rockefellers, they were told the Allies not to bomb those. They were left alone. They may have received some minimal damage, but they weren't destroyed. That infrastructure wasn't destroyed. At the end of the war, because the rails have been destroyed, the roads have been destroyed, the bridges have been destroyed in Germany, food couldn't be brought to them. And Eisenhower didn't care. Truman didn't care. They just let them starve. They didn't care. And millions of Germans died after the war from starvation. Now, we never hear about any of that either. So here's the nuttiest part about all of this stuff. There are people right now in Syria and all these other countries that we've done this to that are dying from starvation, dying from fresh water, dying from dysentery. And they never asked to be involved in any of this stuff. The only reason we're in Syria right now is because a Russian asked their president not to allow a gas pipeline from Qatar to go in there to a warm water port. You know, and that's why this has happened to the other side. That's why the gas pipeline is why we're in there. I mean, that's the only thing that we're in here for. It's the only reason. And the only reason right now that Iran's coming out of the doldrums and Saudi Arabia's in trouble, because the part of the Iran deal that Obama signed let Iran dump oil on the market at $25 a barrel, and they're just flooding the market with as much as they can produce, and the sales are way, way off for Saudi at almost $50 a barrel now. So Saudi's in trouble from a financial standpoint. Now, don't get me wrong. I have no love loss for Saudi Arabia. But they're coming out now, and they're saying, hey, wait a minute, guys. The United States is turning on us, and we don't like this because, quite frankly, they're trying to blame the whole 9/11 thing on us, and it wasn't us. It was the Mossad, and it was the United States, rogue elements of the United States government that were involved in 9/11 to perpetuate this war on terror so they could start doing all these things they're doing. So now Saudi's coming out starting to talk about the truth. So, Austin, if we can keep this dialogue going and these people can get in there, and if we can put Donald Trump in office and they'll actually start talking about this stuff on the news, what'll happen is we'll be in a situation where the truth can be disseminated again. And if Bill Clinton's signing of that legislation back in the early 90s, deregulating the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, if that can be revoked by Bill, by Trump, and we can force these guys into sell all these radio and TV stations and get some normal media coverage again, we can actually get the five or six corporations that control 97% of the media not to be able to do all of this propaganda to us on an ongoing basis to continue to promulgate these lies they've been doing to us, son. That's the whole thing. We've got to free the media back up and get it out of the Rothschild banking cartel's hands. If we could do that, we can actually get our freedoms back. But we've got to be able to have the people in America hear the truth. If the people heard this show every day on mainstream media, if they heard it, they would know the truth. If they heard Alex or Joyce or Dave Hodges or Hagman's, any of us, you know, they would hear the truth. The truth would set them free. You know, I mean, the other day I forgot to tell you guys this. When I was in getting a vitamin C IV on Monday, and the guy was in there and we were talking to him, and he finally, he said that he's voting for Trump, but he'd like to have lunch with Obama. He'd like to have lunch with Obama. And I said to him, I said, you'd like to have lunch with Obama? He goes, you know, yeah, he goes, I like hearing the man speak. He's a good orator. And I just looked at him and shook my head and I said, dude, we aren't even on the same planet here. Me, as far as how we feel, I have no interest in ever seeing this guy. I mean, I have pictures of me and George W. that I've had taken together in meetings. None of them are on my wall. I don't. Now, H, I've got a couple of pictures of him on the wall because I put those up there 20-something years ago before I knew who he was and what he was involved in, and I just haven't bothered to take them down. And I've also got pictures of me on the wall with Larry King and Colin Powell and General Schwarzkopf. And I've even got one up there with Bill Cosby that really does really does need to come down. But the point is, I really do know all of these guys, and I've been at seminars with them all, and I've spoken with them at the same – I mean, I was on the same platform with these guys. You know, we'd all address like 10 or 15 or 20 or 30,000 people when it was our time to speak. So I had a real run with this whole thing that we've been doing now for many, many years. I mean, that was like 23, 24 years ago I was doing that. I started doing that. So I've been around for a long, long time helping people and telling the truth. Now, back then, when I was on the platform, I spoke primarily on nutrition. And that's why I was able to stay on the platform so long with these guys, because they didn't get into the globalist conspiracy cover-ups, et cetera, or Bohemian Grove. And quite frankly, I didn't know a lot about that 25 years ago. It wasn't something that really interested me, and I really didn't want to be bothered with it or have my mind clouded with it, because it was so distracting to me, because it took up so much energy that I was too busy with what all the other things that I was doing. So if you have friends that are really caught up as far as in their jobs and their careers and they're working all the time trying to pay the bills, you know, you got to cut them a little bit of slack, because when you start really thinking about what's happening in the United States and you start becoming aware of it, it's a pretty hard road to hoe. I mean, you start thinking, gosh, this is really awful. These guys are actually doing this. And we got people that are Satanists running the government. I mean, we got people that are out there sacrificing human beings in effigy, supposedly, to Lucifer, to Baal, you know, to Moloch. Are you joking me? In Bohemian Grove? We got Hillary Clinton's a full-blown satanic witch. I mean, which means she probably is involved in blood-drinking ceremonies. Really? We don't want to hear any of this stuff. And oh my God, you mean Roswell was real? We actually had something happen with these fallen angels, apparently, that came down in these spaceships that crashed. Oh well, that's really weird. I don't want to hear about that. I want to go back to my happy, happy church on Sunday morning and hear all the happy, happy things, because I don't want to hear about how the government is corrupt and men and girls' bathrooms. Are you joking me? This is okay now? Hey, no, most people don't want to hear it because of normalcy bias. They don't want to be involved in it. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it because it's beyond what they're capable from a mental standpoint to deal with intellectually or even spiritually or even physically because of the stress it can put them under. That's why you have so much kickback and blowback from your friends when you try to talk to them about this, because number one, they don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe the truth because it's so far out there that, you know, remember, you guys listen to the show every day, or you're listening to these other shows that we're on all the time, so you know what's going on. You guys are awake. The whole thing with the internet has been the bane of the existence of the globalists. They used it to set up a control grid. That's why it's there. They're trying to set us all into this matrix, this energy field in which they can control our thoughts and our attitudes and our actions by giving us the right frequencies. But in the meantime, until they can spool that technology up, this thing's turned into a real nightmare for these guys. They really don't know how to control us anymore. And all of the people down here in the squirrel cage are kind of looking up and going, you know, I don't want to really be in this cage anymore. I really don't like this anymore. And I realize that you guys are doing this to us. And hey, just maybe the answer is going to be no next time when you try to tap on my door. And I say, no, not coming to my house. See, that's the goal. The goal is for all of us in the aggregate to awaken. And if we could do that before they get the entire infrastructure in place with what they're doing, get all the beta testing out of the way, I personally believe at that point in time we can get our country back. And I believe that. The other day I was on with Lou Vickers in the morning. He's a former professional football, baseball player out of Pensacola, Florida. Great guy, he's in his 70s. And his co-host asked me, Ted, did you see any hope at all for Europe when you were there? Did you see any light at the end of the tunnel? And my answer was no. I don't see any hope for Europe. And they go, really? That's really, really negative. I said, well, yeah. I said, you got to remember something, guys. I said, and I didn't say this on the air. I said other stuff, but I thought about it after this, and I thought, they don't have Jesus Christ anymore like we have in the United States. They don't have a lot of people still going to church. They've been able to get them out of churches over there. They've already had men and women's lockers in the same locker rooms for years. They've already done all of this stuff. I mean, they've already gone down the slippery slope the globalists are taking us down, and they've pretty much become secularized. So they don't have the hope of national unity any longer because they've all been incorporated into the European Union. I mean, there's really nothing they can do at this point but a full-blown civil war. Or like Iceland did. Iceland's the benchmark of what should be done everywhere in the world, Austin. Because if we could do what Iceland did and throw these stinking bankers out, just throw them out. You throw the bankers out. You know, Robert Steele said that in one of his interviews that he did the other day. I was listening to him. He said, just throw the bankers out. He goes, we don't need their Federal Reserve System. We don't need any of this stuff. We go back to the way it was before that. He says, we don't have to negotiate with the bankers. Just throw them out. Say, no, get out. We're not doing this anymore with you guys. And if we did that and we nationalized the banking system like it was before the Federal Reserve took it back over like it's supposed to be, we would be in the middle of this big mess. What do you think, Austin, about this giant oratory I just did?
Yeah. No, you're definitely on point with a substantial amount of it. So that's it, you're absolutely right. That's it always comes down to the banks. It really does. Whoever controls the money essentially controls pretty much everything that happens. That's how it works. That's why the prison industrial complex has gotten so big. The military industrial complex has got so big. Because it's all funded by endless amounts of money. They're just endless pits. And, you know, the government keeps feeding them money. That's why we want to keep going to war, keep everything active. That's why we won't legalize a lot of drugs. That's why we do stupid stuff like out in Texas and throw people in jail again if they can't pay annual fines on speeding tickets they were already paid for. But all this stuff is, it's always about controlling the money. That's what it always comes down to. This is another article from Tyler Durden. WSJ wrote in here an article about the big health plans stung by losses in the first few years of the U.S. health laws implementation are seeking hefty premium increases for individual plans sold through insurance exchanges in more than a dozen states now for next year. As WSJ reports, the insurers propose rates for individual coverage in states that have made their 2017 requests public now largely bear our health plans' grim predictions about their challenges under the health care overhaul. According to the insurers filing with regulators now, large plans in states including New York, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and more are seeking to raise rates over 20% or more. Even in states as Florida and Maryland, insurers are seeking to raise premiums by over 10%. Couple of the top ones on here, Indiana, 28.3% proposed increase in the average premium. New Mexico, 31.6%. Oregon, 29.6%. Pennsylvania, 38.4% average premium increase proposed for 2017. So, guys, we talked about it months ago. Get ready for it. If you got health insurance and individual plans, it's about to get pricey next year. It's about to get really expensive. So make your own decisions what you got to make on that. But this, as we've told many a times, this was all designed to fail from the beginning, and it was designed to suck as much money as it could out of the American public, and it's doing just that now. I mean, Pennsylvania's going up 38.4% proposed premium hike next year. That's insane. I mean, you can't even sustain your insurance at that rate if you're already barely making ends meet. So, yeah, those are the numbers now that we're starting to see from all the insurance companies. So I thought I'd bring that to light today.
Well, and think about it, Austin. I mean, the insurance companies wrote the Obamacare.
Yeah, I know.
They wrote it on purpose because,
yep.
See, whenever you mandate that you have to have something, like either health insurance or driver's license or anything, that price can go as high as it wants. What happens if you remember this in economics? You create an inelastic demand curve. In other words, you don't have a choice; you have to have it. So it doesn't make one bit of difference whether they charge $1 or $100. If it's required by law, you have to have it. That's called an inelastic demand curve, and so it can't be stretched. You can't say, "I'm not going to do it" or "I'm not going to do it." You know, when you have an elastic demand curve, then you can take it or not take it. That's what we had before with the insurance. But when the companies wrote this and they created an inelastic demand curve on the insurance premiums, they could charge whatever they want to charge, and you have to pay it. Otherwise, you get penalized on your refunds, and you don't have insurance, so you have no insurance, and you still get penalized.
See, yeah,
it's all Cloward Pivot. It's all about destroying the United States and turning it upside down and overwhelming the republic with social welfare systems. It's all trying to bring the government. See, the United States has been much more resilient than they thought it would be. It has been. It's taken a lot longer to deconstruct the Constitution than they ever thought it would take. I mean, this Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, all the things they've had to do, and all of these endless executive orders by the government, by the president, it's slowly deconstructing the United States. That's why Obama said in his last speech, the end of the republic has never been nearer. He's saying this? He should have been tried for treason for saying that. He should have been impeached immediately for saying that. But he didn't. He doesn't care. That was his goal. His goal is to get that NAFTA through, get that trade treaties through. Not NAFTA, but the Trans-Pacific Partnership through. That's what he was told his mandate was going to be. I mean, I don't believe for one second he ever won the second election. I don't believe that one second. And the thing about it is, I don't know if they're willing and bold enough. If Trump comes in and is 20 or 30 points above Hillary, and if she, quote, wins, and there's no exit polling, I don't know if they're willing to do that, Austin. I don't know. I think it'd be easier for them to go ahead and try to take him out after he gets in office. That's what they did with Reagan, and that's what they did with Kennedy. I mean, there's a certain point in time that the American population is going to say, no, we're not going to put up with it. And see, now, guys, this is important because this is part of what they're doing in this matrix they're putting us into. They're reading the thoughts and your attentions and everything else into this AI, and they're trying to determine how much you can tolerate through the beta testing. Now, let me explain to you what that means. If someone says to you, you know, and it goes on national radio or national TV, hey, it's okay for homosexual men who have a problem with their gender to use the bathroom with your little girl, right? And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose, and you got rioting on the streets. All this stuff starts going on. Everybody's unbelievably angry. Everybody's riding Congress. Everybody's riding presidents. Everybody's outside of Target picketing. All of a sudden, they back off, and they go, whoa, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. We got to back off this agenda a little bit, and they back down. But when nobody responds like that and nobody says anything, they go, okay, the population is ready now to implement the strategy. Let's go ahead and do it. And that's how they do it. Little by little by little, they implement it, and they incrementally do it to you. That's what the AI is for, is to determine what the frequency is that you're putting out and what your anger ratios are going to be. And now what they're trying to do with the AI and with the frequency towers and the generating towers and the Gwen towers and all the stuff that we've talked about is if your frequency's not quite right, they want to put the right frequency back into those towers and force your brain to change its thoughts. Now, you think I'm joking you. I'm not joking you. This sounds like we're out in Narnia. We were back in Outer Limits somewhere, okay? This is real. They've got the ability to do this. They can hit you with a certain microwave frequency that'll make you incredibly elated or depressed or incredibly angry or suicidal or give you instant diarrhea or whatever. They can do this to you almost instantaneously. They beta tested it in the Gulf War in 2002. I've done the whole article on that, and I've talked about this before. It was done. It was beta tested. This is what their goal is going to be, is to be able to have enough energy in these frequencies around us, including your Wi-Fi at home. That's why I always tell you, unplug this stuff at night. I mean, I was at the doctor's office earlier today, Austin, getting another vitamin C IV, and the doctor is smart. He has no Wi-Fi signal in his office at all. None. He has no Wi-Fi. He's smart. He's an alternative practitioner. And so I'm trying to log on to the Wi-Fi on a new iPad that I got, because the one I've got now won't even do Skype anymore. It's outdated. And so the craziest thing is, I turned on my Wi-Fi, and I'm searching for a signal, right? And I get like 20 signals that are locked, Wi-Fi energy signals that are strong enough for my Wi-Fi to hook into these signals on my iPad. but they're all locked, so I can't get into them. But think about that. I'm being crisscrossed with 20 different energy waves at one time on my Wi-Fi right now while I was sitting there. That's nuts. If I hear, at the house, if I turn off all my Wi-Fi and I turn them on, I pick up like all the neighbors around me, like in, 100 yards in every direction. I pick all these different Wi-Fi signals up. I'm telling you this, if I had to do it over again, if I ever built another house, if I ever did this again, I would line the entire interior wall of the master bedroom with a copper mesh, and I would build a Faraday cage, and that's what I would sleep inside of. And I'm not going to hang it over my bed, though that's not a bad idea with some of these screens they've got now, but I would not do that now. But if I had to do it over again, I would actually put myself into a Faraday cage. And I know we have a metal building on the property. It's like a barn. And I know that you have like no Wi-Fi signal in there. You can't get a phone call in there because it stops all of those Wi-Fi signals, and you get a really great night's sleep if you're sleeping out in the barn. So, I mean, the whole thing about it is this. We don't need to be sitting in a stew of energy when our bodies are a energy field themselves and we're in a holographic matrix. It's all about controlling the attention field, the energy being generated to control the hologram. So I've just given you guys a really quick synopsis on what they're doing and why they're doing it this way. And it's really kind of scary when you stop and think about it. But greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Because we've got the continuing power coming from the cross of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus continues, restores us to the righteousness of God through Christ because of its healing properties of the blood. That's why the blood had to be spilled on Calvary. That's why Christians have always wondered about the blood. That's why they're taking blood out of the hymnals and they don't want to talk about the blood anymore. You got to have the blood because the blood, because it's a transformer coil, it's a double helix transformer coil, it's a step-up transformer coil. It broadcasts and connects to Christ through scalar waves throughout all time space, throughout eternity, because it transfers information instantaneously for your healing and for you to be restored. So you've got to maintain that relationship with God, and you've got to pray every day. And like Austin said, you've got to set your goals. You got to set your activity goals. You got to control what you think. You got to control what you read. You got to control what you say. All of these things are super, super important because you do not want the controllers to tell you what to think. Now, I'm talking about the Satan people. You don't want them to tell you what to think. You don't want them to tell you what to say. You don't want them to tell you what to do and how to act. That's the key. You've got to tell them what you're doing in your holographic image here, the little movie that we have for ourselves that we're playing, and you've got to learn to control this. If we do that together in the aggregate as Christians, we can literally change the entire fabric of time-space and get our planet back and get our Earth back. Now, I realize the book of Revelation and all the scripture that God talks about has to come to man. It has to be manifest because God is sovereign. These things are going to happen. But I do believe that we can change the timelines. I believe he's given us that authority because nothing was written in concrete. Even Jesus said when questioned when these times are going to happen, he says, I don't even know this. Only the Father himself knows. So I believe if we serve him and we obey him, we do what we need to do, we'll get a reprieve for this generation and maybe we can get our country back. At least for a while, Austin. That's what I really hope. Because if it keeps going like it is now, son, it's going to just get awful. I mean, I got a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 17-year-old. I got you. You got a baby. I mean, gosh, what in the world? What are we leaving our children? What are we leaving our children? What kind of planet are we leaving our children? Well, I'll tell you what kind of planet. It's a planet that's controlled by Lucifer in its energy fields. That's their goal. Their goal was to have orbiting satellites all over Africa and everywhere else that would tie into Wi-Fi and to put an Apple iPhone or a smartphone in everybody's hand on the entire planet. That's their goal. Now, are you nuts? These guys are living on like $2 a month for rice and they have to have an iPhone? No. It's about the energy field that it creates. It's about the energy field around the planet. It's about controlling all of this stuff, Austin. Controlling it through the energy they pump into your brains through all of these different signals. So turn your Wi-Fi off at night, please. Go ahead, Austin. What's your next story?
Always. Absolutely. Well, we're starting to see more and more now why the influx of migrants into Europe is so heavy. From Denmark now, I did not realize how aggressive their welfare program is in Denmark, and it doesn't have to be for any resident or permanent resident or citizen of Denmark. Syrian refugee Daham al-Hassan, who fled to Denmark, has three wives and 20 children, and he is now expecting Denmark to pay for them as he cannot work, according to himself. In Denmark, they allot $1,600 per year per child with no cap. Only in just child support, no other welfare subsidies, he would be getting about $32,000 a year annually. So far, he's been received approval for one of his wives and 17 of his children. Three of them have not been able to get there yet. Daham Hassan says that he cannot work or learn Danish at all because the psychological problems due to missing his children. A load of crock. He fled to Denmark and left his family in a hot war zone because he could not afford to care about them at the moment. But he received information that he could get them to Denmark after 3 months if they managed to get to Turkey on their own, which it turns out they did. This case in the amount of child support that Denmark has to pay, and he's expecting them to pay, has made the Danish parliament to rethink the amount of child support and welfare the state is willing to pay, and a suggestion for a maximum amount is now on the table. This is what we keep bringing up here in the United States as well. Denmark is just another place is having the exact same issues. You cannot run a country, you cannot manage and balance finances when you have people sucking this amount of funds out of the government fund. It doesn't work. This guy has 20 kids. Get a job. If you had 20 kids, you obviously are able and mobile enough to do work, but now he's trying to use the guise of, I can't work because of psychological impact of not seeing my kids. No, again, it's the same thing I talked about yesterday. All these guys want the gravy train. They hear about these places. You can go there, you can get welfare, you can get free food, you can get free housing, and you don't have to do a single thing or pick up a single finger. Now, there's a lot of people, I understand, that have all types of disabilities, true disabilities, problems with things, and they really do deserve help, and I'm completely about that, and I'm very, very much in support for it. But when you have people like this who has three wives and 20 children and basically is refusing to learn the language of the country and refusing to work, it's egregious to me that they've even allowed him to stay in that country and haven't deported him back to wherever he came from, because he's simply there as a leech and nothing more. He's contributing nothing, he's building nothing, he's supporting nothing. All he's doing is trying to take from the government, and this is exactly what Trump's been talking about. We cannot allow this stuff to continue to happen here or in essentially any country and still maintain financial stability at all.
I would give them the money, but I'd require two things from them first. Actually, one thing. I was going to just go ahead and have him just get a vasectomy.
Yeah.
But I think we'll just go ahead and castrate that boy. I mean, are you kidding me? I don't even know what to say. Just we'll stay here, man. We're going to castrate you. We're good. See, we calm right now since you're so sick and you don't need to be having sex anymore. Now you got 20 kids. We're good.
20 kids.
You already impacted the gene pool enough. So we're going to just just going to castrate you, or just go ahead and give him a vasectomy. You know, I mean, just, you know, but no, I'm being facetious. I wouldn't give him any money. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, but you're right. They're told by these Danish governments. Remember, these are big social states over there.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why when they asked me the other day, they said, do you see any hope for these guys? I said, no, I don't see any hope for them at all, because this is what they want. This is what they've gotten since the war. See, the Rothschild banking cartel is a lot stronger over there than it ever was here, because it was there for 100 years before it ever got to us, more longer than that. And so, you know, it got to us in 1913. It was there back in the 1700s. So they had over 100 years to really, really get themselves, you know, really locked down over there in control of everything. Over here, of course, they've massively enslaved us within 100 years because we've allowed them to. That's the only reason. There's no other way of looking at this. It's because we have allowed them to. And sadly, we're getting what we sow. We're sowing. We allow them to sow the seed, and now we're getting the harvest because we didn't put a stop to it. And sadly, unless we get our country back, unless somebody like Donald Trump comes in, oh gosh, I hope he's for real, Austin. I so hope he's for real, because if he's not for real, it's gonna be very frustrating to all of us that have promoted him so heavily, because we've all put our credibility out there on the line with him, because we know that we're out there. I mean, if we had a choice right now between Jeb Bush, okay, or Bubble Boy Rubio, okay, or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, and those are the four hopefuls that we have now going into these conventions, I'd be saying the country's lost. It's just over with. If we get 8 more years of any of these whacked bags, you know, we're just going to be over with. I mean, that's it. But if we can get somebody in there who will stand against the globalists, who will stand against tyranny, and we can get a fair election out of them. Like I said, the last election was the only time the federal government tallied all the results in Washington and didn't allow the states to tally their own totals. And, I mean, that's crazy. You know, and George Bush, you know, he outlawed exit polling at the end of the presidential races because he said it was affecting the states out west as far as they were seeing that they were New York or, you know, South Carolina was being called for one candidate. It was affecting the turnout. I don't believe that at all. They don't want them knowing what the exit polls are saying because if the exit polls don't line up with the general vote, they'll know it's a lie. Okay, in other words, if you poll let me give everybody a little statistics lesson here. If you have 1,000 people in a precinct and you poll them, that's a large enough number, and you got 60% who vote for Trump and 40% vote for Hillary. Okay, and that happens at every exit poll from every major precinct. There's no way. It's a 20-point swing. Trump wins. But if you don't allow the exit polling to do this, to be there, to verify the results, then they could say, oh, it was a close election. It was 51-49, three swing states, three swing counties, blah, blah, blah. Hillary has beaten Trump. Okay? Nobody can say anything because nobody knows what the exit polls were. So Trump really needs to have people in place in major precincts in swing states, and then he'd be continually broadcasting the exit polls out, at least 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 different sets of people doing this in all of the major precincts in the United States, and then he'd be reporting back to Trump's headquarters, and he needs to be putting that information out on mainstream media and doing a live feed on YouTube so everybody knows what's going on, so they can't pull this crap again like they did the last time with the election with Romney. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that Mitt Romney was near the candidate that Trump was. But are you kidding me? Compared to Obama? Romney would have been a saint. But again, Romney capitulated. He fell down on his own sword. He did one of the worst jobs I've ever seen debating Obama. He would not get his hands dirty. He would not take the gloves off. And see, Trump's not going to do that. Trump's going to hammer Hillary in the debates. Rubio never would have done that. Rubio would have shown her the respect she does not deserve. You know, and then the same thing, it's just ridiculous. And also, by the way, Bernie Sanders has issued Trump a challenge to debate him. The answer for the Trump campaign is absolutely not. Bernie Sanders is not even a player in this election cycle. Bernie Sanders will not even get the nomination from the Democrats. And all they would do is have Bernie Sanders do everything he can to discredit Trump and then fall on his own sword if he had to try to decrease Trump's numbers. So Trump does not need to do that whatsoever. He doesn't need to be talking to an avowed communist who the only stuff that he was able to do was write pornographic stories until he was 40 years old, never had a real job until he was in his 40s. Are you kidding me? This is who he won as president? Absolutely not. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Now, yesterday, I can't remember, we go through so many articles, did we discuss the National Institute for Health, the research study they just came out with on the cell phone cancer?
That's right, brain cancer, yep.
Did we? Okay, I don't remember if we did or not. I'll touch base on it real quick.
Hey, hang on. I had it pulled up. I'm not sure if I talked about it or not, to be honest with you.
It goes through so many articles every day. Well, in short, if we didn't hit it yesterday, here's just a short, basically, synopsis of what happened. A multi-year study by the federal government, the National Toxicology Program, which is part of the National Institute for Health, did a study now on basically the cell phone radio frequency and stated now that it is directly linked to brain cancer.
That's right.
They did tests on literally tens of thousands of rats, all types of different studies back and forth, and unequivocally stated that, yes, there is a direct link to cell phones and brain cancer. And guys, this isn't, you know, a natural website. This isn't, you know, Health Masters. This isn't Alex Jones. This is the National Institute for Health. This is like yesterday when I talked about the CDC had their own internal review stating thimerosal was directly linked to autism, and then they said it was safe. This is the exact same thing now. The National Institute for Health is now stating that the cell phones are directly linked to brain cancer. The name of the study, if you guys want to look it up, it was Report of Partial Findings from the National Toxicology Program, Carcinogenic Studies of Cell Phone, Radio Frequency, Radiation, and HSD, Sprague-Dawley SD Rat, Whole Body Exposure. So I thought I would just address that. If we didn't hit it yesterday, I don't remember, so I just hit it now.
Well, that's right. One more, almost out of time. We covered this story. This is by Michael Schneider. Six giant corporations control the media. We know that. And these giant corporations, by the way, are controlled through their interlocking corporate directorships and through stock purchases and through corporate boards by the Rothschilds. And Americans consume 10 hours of programming every single day via radio and TV and the Internet. If you allow someone to pump in hours of programming into your mic every single day, it is inevitable that is eventually going to have a major impact on how you view the world. In America today, the average person consumes approximately 10 hours of information, news, and entertainment a day, and there are six giant media corporations that overwhelmingly dominate the market, as we talked about a few minutes ago with the frequency. In fact, it has been estimated that somewhere around 90% of the programming that we constantly feed our minds comes from them. And, of course, they are ultimately controlled by the elite of the world, the Rothschilds. So is there any hope our country has as long as the vast majority of the population is plugged into the matrix and this propaganda matrix? Just think about your own behavior. Even as you're reading this article, the television might be playing in the background. By the way, don't do that. Turn the TVs off. Just turn them off. You don't need to listen to them. And you have music on. Turn that off, too. Many of us have gotten to the point where we are literally addicted to media. In fact, there are people out there that have become physically uncomfortable if everything is turned off and they have to be dealing with complete silence. I love complete silence. Three monolithic corporations really do set the agenda for what the society focuses on. For example, when you engage in your conversation with your family, friends, or coworkers, what do you talk about? If you are like most people, you talk about something currently in the news, a television show you watched last night, or some major sporting event. Think about that. He's right. Eventually, all of that news and entertainment is controlled by the elite virtue of their own ownership of these giant media corporations. Alan Watt talks about this in detail, how they control us with that, primarily through the sports shows for guys. I want to share some numbers with you. Here they are. Watching live television, 4 hours a day. Time-shifted television, 30 minutes. Radio, 2 hours. Smartphone, 1 hour. Internet, 1 hour. When you add all these numbers together, 10 hours a day. And keep in mind that going to the movie theaters, playing video games, aren't even included in this. What in the world are we doing? I'm going to stop for a second. What are we doing to ourselves? We're being programmed by the hive mind. We're being programmed by the frequency of what they want us to do. And if they can't control us enough, they'll pump more of that into us because the AI is telling them to do it, because we're all tied in now to the smart grid. The combination of watching live television and watching time-shifted television alone comes in more than a total of 5 hours a day. If you feed 5 hours of something into your mind every single day, it's going to affect you and it's going to change you. And it'll make you become what they want you to become. Now, the thing, let me share something with you real quick. Zig Ziglar had a series out. He's one of the finest motivational speakers. In fact, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to correct that. He is the finest motivational speaker that's ever been or ever lived. And what Ziglar did is he taught me back in the 80s. He said, Ted, here's what you've got to realize, is if you've got a bunch of junk in your mind, you've got to pray the positive in over and over and over and over and over again to get the junk out. It's like having a whole garbage full, a dump, landfill. Sooner or later, you start putting dirt on it, dirt on it, dirt on it, dirt on it. You can cover the landfill, you can plant trees, and you can turn it into a garden. But you got to quit pumping dirt and you got to stop putting garbage in it. So guys, if you're watching the media and you're watching this filth, just turn it off. Guys, have a blessed Memorial Day weekend. Be blessed. And realize I'll be live with you tonight, live on Sunday night. But also remember, if you served in our military, I'm proud of you. If you're a patriot, I'm proud of you. If you're awake, I'm proud of you. And I'm also, I want to thank you again for supporting healthmasters.com and getting our supplements. Remember, TED5, T-E-D, the number 5, discount all products until Monday night. And we appreciate you. And also the Purple Sticks are on a 3-pack special now. Thank you for supporting us. Austin, go ahead and close, and I'll talk to you guys tonight.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. Thank you for everything. Email us or call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night and a safe weekend. We'll be back with you guys again Sunday night. And Ted will be on the show with you guys tonight on the Hagmann Show, all the whole 3 hours live. You guys have a blessed night. Talk to you later.